right. Good evening, everybody. How you all doing tonight? It is July 31st, 2023. Welcome to your WWE post-Raw show. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. Raw tonight, pretty damn solid. We'll talk about it. Got some other news to get into. Unfortunately, we have two deaths to report. I already showed you one preview. Rest in peace, Exotic Adrian Street, dead at the age of 82. But we also lost someone else. I actually forgot how much involvement he had with WWE. In fact, I got a vintage clip for all of you going back to 1985 that apparently is safe to share with everyone. I'll get into that in a little bit. Pee Wee Herman, dead at the age of 70. Man, you know, it's pretty unbelievable and how fast the years seem to go by. I mean, sure, it doesn't feel like yesterday tuning into Pee Wee's Playhouse, but when you realize that, my God, it was almost 40 years ago. You know, 40 fucking years. That's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. You know, and listen, I try not to stay away from controversy when people pass away, but something that crossed my mind tonight that I wanted to share with you, because you know that I'm very, very blunt on these shows, brutally honest. And I think that when people see that you're confronting something in a respectful way, you don't get greeted with a lot of hate. I mean, if you think about the conversation we had over the weekend, talking about what went down with Taya Valkyrie and Britt Baker in the internet wrestling community, we were talking about, you know, why people use derogatory words towards others, whether it's gender, race, sexual preference. You do it in a respectful way. You usually don't get controversy. It's the way you go about it. Something I saw tonight, maybe I'm just overthinking it, probably, but I thought I would share it with you. We also have to talk about two big changes to SummerSlam. And, you know, I could go the clickbait route, which we don't do here, but I choose to go the straight up, you know, tell you like it is, because you know people are going to stretch this, dramatize it, try to trigger emotions, anger, and I guess we could just talk about it out of turn, but I think it's something that everybody has on their mind right now. What's the deal with Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus not taking place at SummerSlam? I wish I could sit here and tell you that there's just not enough time. I wish I could sit here and bitch and say, oh, what the fuck? How's that match not worthy? You want the truth? This is the reason why the match is off SummerSlam. Trish Stratus legitimately has her nose is pretty fucked up still. And WWE really does not want to water down this match for the sake of her still dealing with this broken nose. And yes, the mask helps. And yes, she could probably work the match just fine without the mask. Honestly, as you see in the picture, I mean, that's not makeup. But how much is her nose going to heal in 2 weeks? All right, I'm not a doctor. I don't even try to play one on TV, but how much is her nose going to really heal in 2 weeks? I don't know. But all I know is that they want to take this slow. That's why when they teased the match tonight and it ended in 2 seconds, that's because they wanted to spice it up. And I'll give you a good example. You put food down for your dog, and it sits on the floor all day long, and the dog doesn't eat it, or maybe nibbles at it a little bit, and then a couple of hours later, you got this old food on the floor, and your dog is not really doesn't have much attention to it. Feels like it's a little bland. So what do? You try to spice it up a little bit. Just a little bit. Just enough to get the dog to eat. So them doing what they did tonight was to spice it up, to give the feeling that Becky and Trish is not just being held back and watered down and it's losing kind of its steam. So to tease a match tonight, Adam Pearce calls the match and Zoe Stark gets involved. 2 seconds the match lasted. Trish is in no condition yet to appear. Now, I know some people will be honest out there and report the same thing. I know some people will stretch this shit, make other accusations, make other claims. And 9 times out of 10, it's just clickbait to try to get attention. But that's why this match is not happening. It will happen in 2 weeks in Canada, Manitoba, which is interesting because you know Trish Stratus is going to get more of a baby face pop over there. Listen, it's going to happen in 2 weeks. I pulled up SummerSlam from last year. As of right now, this year, there are 8 matches scheduled. Remember last year, we had that insane main event of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, where the ring was turned sideways. Remember how long that match went? That shit went very, very long. In fact, I got the timestamp in front of me. That match last year went, oh, I don't have the time. Wow, they didn't put the time in, but it was over 30 minutes. Because all of the fuckery that happened with it. So you had 8 matches last year with that. Now, the Battle Royal is not going to be tremendously long. You're going to see flurries of eliminations like this. This year, they have 8 matches scheduled also. Last year, they had 2 women's matches. This year, they have 2 women's matches. So, listen, I agree. This match should have been on SummerSlam. Rhea Ripley, they chose to not give her a match at SummerSlam. And let's be honest, we've been talking about the Raw Women's Division. I don't know how so quickly the WWE can't like figure out a good feud for Rhea Ripley. They tease Raquel Rodriguez, but tonight you think, oh, Raquel comes out, they have this big confrontation. Holy shit, they're going to have the SummerSlam match after all. Rhea Ripley takes her out again. My knee. So Rhea Ripley has no opponents. None. And that's probably, you know, a bad thing, a good thing. You know, she's so dominant. But, man, I tell you, when this draft went down, it felt like there was so much promise, especially on the women's side. And I don't know. I don't know how you all feel about it, but for me, it's almost like SmackDown is the women's division and Raw is just, you know, Rhea Ripley squashes someone here and there and they just tread along. I don't know. But so we'll get into the card later on. A match that I suddenly can't wait to see. When we found out that Shayna Baszler was going to take on Ronda Rousey at SummerSlam, what was the complaint that you all had, that I had, and the IWC had? Like, a match? A regular match? Plus, the first promo, this is not going to be a match, this is going to be a fight. But they put the graphic up for the last 2 weeks, and it's just a regular match. Make it MMA rules. Remember we talked about it, Fight Pit Octagon, special guest referee, something. Make it MMA, make it I Quit, make it something. Well, tonight, that something came. And you could see by the production, I don't follow MMA. I never liked mixed martial arts, which is kind of funny because my father is a triple degree black belt. My father competed on ABC TV back in 1977. He was only on TV for 6 minutes, not all at the same time. You know, I have an old VHS tape. I got to put this online one day. But my father was big time karate, was never into MMA, never into karate either, other than Bruce Lee. But My friends who are into MMA were just raving tonight about this video package that they did. And yeah, I know most people will focus on the fact that, oh my God, they showed Marina Shafir, AEW wrestler. Yeah, they actually showed that picture tonight on Raw. They actually even showed them doing a full horsewomen sign. Because with WWE, the only four horsewomen that ever mattered were Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch. But now with Endeavor and UFC and WWE merging, now things change up a little bit. But I got to tell you, everything that they showed tonight about the Ultimate Fighter, the tears, how Shayna Baszler, aspiring to become a fighter, always showed up for Ronda Rousey, but Ronda Rousey never really showed up for her. I mean, yeah, that's kind of exaggerated, but it is very, very true. And they showed a lot of their history. And my friends that are into MMA, if you go online and you search around, people that aren't even WWE fans are saying, like, wow, they really went deep and legit accurate with what they showed. Suddenly, I can't wait to see this match. Did you ever think that we couldn't wait to see a Ronda Rousey match in WWE? They're going to be crying on Saturday. I don't know how they're going to do this. Now, a quick cheap plug. Tomorrow night, it'll be live on Patreon, but it'll be online for everybody between midnight and 1 a.m. Tuesday night. But Kevin and I, we'll be doing a preview and predictions for SummerSlam. And we will definitely dissect this match a little bit, because the big question now you have to ask yourself is, are they going to have a legit, straight-up MMA fight? Because think about it. You know, if they want Shayna Baszler with some momentum, what happens if Ronda Rousey knocks her on her ass? Is this the Dr. Death Steve Williams brawl for it all moment again? I don't think so. I don't think so, because the difference is, even if Ronda Rousey were to knock Shayna Baszler out, you know, there could be a hug after, and then Shayna Baszler could just go off on Ronda Rousey and start nailing the wrestling moves, and yeah, maybe Ronda won the match, but Shayna wins the war. In MMA, when the match is over, that's it. It's over. Referee calls the bell. It's over. So WWE could definitely improvise after the outcome. It's going to be really interesting to see how this turns up, because if you pay attention, Ronda Rousey is going to be leaving WWE soon. So you kind of feel like, you know what? Shayna Baszler, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, you go on her social media, you go on her Twitch, and you hear her talking about pro wrestling. She eats, breathes, shits pro wrestling. She is an MMA fighter as well. But she loves pro wrestling. The bug bit her many, many years ago. So Shayna is going to continue and carry on. And who knows? My gut feeling is that even if Ronda Rousey does leave WWE, it's going to be for a short amount of time. I know Ronda Rousey does not want to return to the octagon for her close friend. That's different. But with the Endeavor UFC WWE merge, this opens up some very interesting possibilities with entertainment in the future. You're telling me that with UFC and WWE as a marriage, that Ronda Rousey is going to not be part of it at all? I find that difficult to believe. She's been on that reality show on TV, and she just finished that. And I'm sure that was probably taped in advance. But Ronda Rousey, I think, will still be part of it. Maybe take a little bit of time off. But suddenly, you know, the last 2 weeks, I can't complain. Even Ronda Rousey with the interview today, can't complain. I don't know what it is. Maybe she just has to base everything on reality. That if she thinks too much and she follows too much of the script, she can't cut it. Because you have seen what we have seen on TV over the last year or so with her. It's like a human sleeping pill. You know, she's just very, it feels like she doesn't have her. And here's another thing. If you followed the two, and they did two videos today. They did one early on, and we found out that it was going to be MMA rules. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm buying in for this. I'm buying in for this. And then later on, they do another video, and I'm like, wait a minute. We just had 2 seconds of a match with Becky versus Trish. You mean to tell me you're airing a second? I thought it was going to be the same video, but it was a whole part two of Ronda versus Shayna. And I asked myself, why did they wait until 5 days before SummerSlam to show that? It was excellent. Excellent. And Michael's saying right now, the best part of Raw. I'm not even a fan of MMA. And I am really intrigued by this. You know, two close friends, you know, battling it out. And there is some legit implications down the line. If Shayna is going to remain with WWE and she gets embarrassed. I mean, obviously WWE has a plan. But I can't wait to see that. That is going to be really, really cool. And you know what? I hope that her friends could be there. You know, there's a lot of controversy today over two words that Triple H said during the Cody Rhodes Peacock special that is now available. I have not watched it yet, and we'll get into Raw, more of it in a second. But American Nightmare, Becoming Cody Rhodes, is now available on Peacock. It runs about an hour. I have not watched it yet, but I promise you, after this show tonight, I will watch it tonight. I am not waiting. And from what people are telling me so far, it is excellent. And not only that, when you're done watching it, you realize that Cody will finish the story against Roman Reigns. I mean, it doesn't flat out pull it in that direction, but you know this would be epic fail if Cody doesn't finish the story. And look at the Brock Lesnar stuff today. That crowd went fucking nuts for Cody Rhodes. I'm a little surprised that he has maintained this epic level of reaction. I mean, just really maintained it since WrestleMania. I mean, everything seems to be clicking. And yeah, I still look back and don't want to wait a year for Cody to defeat Roman Reigns. But you know what? Look at what has transpired with the bloodline since WrestleMania. Are we complaining about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn winning the tag title, Sami Zayn leaving the bloodline, getting a little bit of revenge on Roman, even though Roman still has the championships? Now the Usos are out of the bloodline, and Jey Uso and Roman Reigns are going to tear the house down on Saturday. And then there's going to be a shift with Jimmy Uso. And then you got to start the saga with Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns. Now, yeah, I don't want just bloodline infighting from now to Mania. We need to shift in a different direction. There's a whole fucking roster out there. See, that's the thing. That's the only issue I have with what's going on with Roman's reign, pun intended, right now, is that the bloodline stuff is excellent. We love it. It's killing it in the ratings. But there's a whole roster out there trying to become heavyweight champion. And yes, Seth Rollins has a title also, but to just have this infighting and extension, you know, there's going to come a point where people are just going to get a little bit tired of it. WWE has been really good at not having that happen. But we're in August, as of 40 minutes from now. You get September, October, November, December, January, February, March. That's 8 months. Somebody could get pregnant right now and be on the verge of giving birth, and WrestleMania hasn't even happened yet. It's still a long time. And you look at that SmackDown roster, does it feel like anyone is going to be a threat to Roman between now and Mania? No. Is there anybody on Raw that you feel like is a threat to Roman between now and Mania? Even close? No. So something has got to shift. Something's got to shift. So Cody Rhodes, American Nightmare, and we'll get back to the Triple H comment that pissed off the net. But for those that are interested, this Thursday, Cody Rhodes will be on the Today Show. He will be plugging the documentary that is airing on Peacock. And also, they will be plugging SummerSlam. So if you want to go watch that, that is Thursday. That's going to be happening. But the big controversy coming out of this, and I'm not going to spend much time on it. I'll get into it a little bit more on Wednesday, but I'll say this. In the American Nightmare documentary, there is footage from Being the Elite, you know, BTE on YouTube. The Young Bucks allowed some footage to be used. And, you know, they worked out a deal, and it was cool. And from what people are telling me, you know, that they really did not hold back. And Cody Rhodes doesn't elaborate, but he says that he left AEW for a personal reason. Now, will we ever find out what that is? Maybe when Cody writes a book. We don't know if there's NDAs involved. Got to keep that in mind. But what pissed off a lot of AEW fans today is that Triple H, in this documentary, said that Cody Rhodes did not win the championship for a secondary promotion. He wants to win it for the WWE. Like calling AEW a secondary promotion. And the justification with the anger by a lot of people online is, wow, the Young Bucks allow some footage of Cody and AEW, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, it's obviously Tony Khan has no control over that. But, you know, the Young Bucks do this for WWE, for Cody. And this is how Triple H thanks them, by taking a massive shot at AEW. I'm going to be straight up honest with everyone. I am a big AEW fan. But what I am also is, I want to see them grow. I'm not content with just that warm, epic feeling every week that I got my fix of certain types of matches. If you go online, that, you know, everything that happens every week, it's perfect. You know, it's the greatest ever, and people go home happy, and they just either make excuses or they gush. They never offer opinions or, you know, advice or suggestions to make it even bigger. To make it even bigger. They just feel like, look, it's on TV. We're getting a pay-per-view. There's 80,000 people are going to show up. AEW is doing everything. We got all these shows. We got the wrestlers we want. Everything is perfect. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because right now, I mean, the aura for a lot of people is that Tony Khan is a billionaire. And like I said, AEW, I've said this so many times in the last 4 years, AEW could lose $100 million a year. And in 10 years, that doesn't even affect 12% of Tony Khan's bankroll. And Tony Khan has so many outside ventures that even if he's losing $100 million in AEW, he's making tens of millions in other ventures. So it's like, If I'm spending money on a hobby, I mean, I'm not comparing it to podcasting, but for 17, 18 years, every penny, every dollar that was spent for podcasts, for the website, for the shows, everything that we did, paid it out of my pocket. Never, ever made any money on it because I loved it. Tony Khan loves wrestling. Tony Khan loves AEW. Tony Khan is putting the money in. It doesn't feel like, you know, that every dollar matters, you know, that they, and AEW is a secondary company. WWE is worth $10 billion and AEW is not. WWE is getting much bigger ratings, consistently more people in attendance. You see, compare the women's divisions. You know, a year, 2 years in for AEW, sure, they got to grow, they got to learn this and that. If you've paid attention to my ratings reports, and this is not shots on AEW, but when you truthfully sit back and you be honest about it, AEW is a secondary promotion. everything from marketing, from exposure. You know, when you see even when people, even when Adrian Street passed away, I saw newspapers in the United Kingdom, newspapers that have been around for 80, 90 years, and the headline, the former WWE wrestler passes away at 82. You know, like when you think of wrestling, people immediately say WWE. Even when TNA was trying to make a dent going to Monday nights, it's not a household name. I mean, WCW, even when WCW was kicking ass for 83 weeks, it was still, the perception is WWF is the top company in town. Yes, that is because of a number of years and everything else, but you look it up and down the line with AEW, you know, now people are like, well, look, they're going to have the biggest, you see what Dave Meltzer is doing, and I don't blame him. He's a big fan of AEW, big supporter. That AEW All In is going to be the biggest ticket-selling wrestling event in history. And that's one night. You look at the overall scope. It's WWE is number one. If you, as a fan, to you, feel that AEW is your number one promotion, there's nothing wrong with that. In the middle to late 90s, for me, ECW was my favorite promotion. Number one for me. First choice on my list. Does that mean that ECW is number one? No, it was tertiary. You had WWE or WCW, depending on what years you're talking about. And then you had ECW in a long distant third. It's not an insult. Plus, with all due respect, Tony Khan has so much pride in AEW. He always says that he truly believes in his heart that they have the number one product in professional wrestling. It's just that people are so used to watching WWE programming that, you know, it's, you got to get people, you know, slowly to gravitate and shift over. I remember Chris Jericho when they were doing the Monday Night Wars. Chris Jericho made a comment. I haven't watched that in 10 years, but I remember him saying something like, you know, once the fans leave, once the air is out of the balloon, you could have Andre the Giant, you could have anybody you want on WCW TV. Once the fans leave, they ain't coming back. When we talked last week about Impact Wrestling and I posted that on social media, that Do Worry Be Crappy song that I made 9 years ago, I posted a screenshot of a TNA event where they booked it in a 6,000-seat stadium and they drew 67. And you look at the card that night, that card was not a bad card. They only drew 67. It was a beautiful day. It was in Tennessee. It's not like they were in the boondocks. So the thing is, AEW is the secondary company. There's no controversy there. Tony Khan, in his view, AEW is number one. Does that mean that Tony Khan is taking a shot at WWE? No. So people today are extremely livid at Triple H. And they're like, oh, if I was the Young Bucks, I would have told Triple H, go fuck yourself. Not out of footage. Let me double down on this. Everything about that documentary, Cody Rhodes signed off on. If Cody Rhodes had that much of a problem about Triple H calling AEW a secondary promotion. Of course, Triple H is the boss. But I guarantee you that if Cody went to Triple H and said, listen, you know, I don't want to, like, I don't think we should, you know, I don't think that's fair, or I don't think we should put that in there. You think Triple H is going to be like, fuck you, now you're not going to win the belt until WrestleMania 44. No. There was a lot of compromise here. That remark would not have included. I think fans are getting angry 10 times more than the wrestlers. All right. So I'm going to watch that tonight. But the Triple H stuff I think is a little ridiculous. Now, very quickly, we just want to pay quick tribute to Exotic Adrian Street and Pee Wee Herman. I'm going to bring up Pee Wee Herman first. Not because one matters more than the other, but my friends, let's be a little honest here. Exotic Adrian Street is way before most fans' time. you look online today, you would swear that everybody out there watched Adrian Street growing up. Look at their Twitter history, and they never mentioned him before he died. You know, so fans today showing love and respect. And you know what? There is nothing wrong with fans out there who never followed his career. Now you hear about how good he was and how revolutionary he was and how controversial he was at the time and how talented he was, him and his wife. And you hear the stories and you learn a little bit about what he was doing. You think about his school in Florida. You think about Mid-Atlantic. Guess what? You might get some fans like, hey, you know, I want to go check it out. I want to see what this guy was all about. So Exotic Adrian Street for a lot of people was way before their time, but very, very beloved. And you know what? I'll throw the little controversial comment out now. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's not a big deal, but I have a feeling some of you out there probably thought the same thing. This is my banner that I posted to pay tribute to Exotic Adrian Street. For anybody out there that ever saw Exotic Adrian Street, whether it's a video, a magazine shot, even when WWE paid tribute to him a few years ago, when that documentary came out, I think in 2019, that is how you remember Exotic Adrian Street. That's how you remember him. WWE today on social media and online posted this graphic. Nice graphic. WWE remembers Exotic Adrian Street. Yes. For people that are asking, yes, I use the same one. I use the same one. But, tonight on Raw, WWE showed this. Kind of looks like Tommy Rich with a couple of stickers on his face. I'm going to ask the question, because I think some of you out there were thinking as well. It was WWE afraid to show Exotic Adrian Street looking like this, even though it's from the 70s, in this day and age, so they had to kind of like, you know, make him look a little bit more masculine, find a photo where he didn't look so controversial and outrageous. I mean, honestly, soon as I saw that graphic, I'm like, why did they change it up? Why are they? Let's be straight up honest for a second. If I showed 100 people live right now that photo and said, who dat? Something tells me that 3/4 of you would not know that that's Exotic Adrian Street. Somebody's good. Verse says it looks like Buddy Landell. So why would WWE on nationwide TV show a picture of Adrian Street that almost nobody would recognize him? And I honestly, truthfully believe that they didn't want to depict him like this. A little bit more feminine. Remember, he did an album once, and I don't want to say the title on this show, but it's the T word. And you look it up. He was a controversial man. But as his wife said, the man outside the pro wrestling ring, totally different than the man that you saw inside the ring. And one of the coolest things that I had never seen before, but I saw this photo today. And yes, that photo is very similar to the photo that we saw. But that photo is from 1972. And only people that were much, much older at the time would have knew that picture was iconic, because that is him standing next to his father, who was a coal miner. And in the early 70s, that photo was controversial because they felt like it was going from industrial to entertainment as far as the aura. At that time, it was a very controversial photo. But nobody in their right mind in 2023, other than maybe legendary professional wrestlers and 70 and 80-year-old wrestling fans out there, would have even known what that was. But his wife confirmed that he passed away because he had developed a blood on the brain earlier this month, and he was being treated for that. And then he developed sepsis. Sepsis. If you don't know what that is, Google it. I'm not going to start giving science lessons here. But he had a lot of health issues. A lot of health issues in recent years. He was diagnosed with cancer, I think, in 2001. And they told him in 2001, start preparing, that he wasn't going to make it. He made it. In 2014, he was ill as well, and he made it. 82 years old. Nice life to live. I hope to live to be 72. You know? So if you don't know much about Adrian Street's career, I will leave you with this. I'll leave you with this. This year so far, the deaths in pro wrestling are a lot of Hall of Famers. I was looking back at 2023. I don't have the entire list in front of me, but when you think of superstar Billy Graham to the Iron Sheik, and you know, you think of, I mean, Draws, you know, tragic as well. But a lot of older Hall of Famers are passing away this year. And the thing is that if you go back and you look at superstar Billy Graham passing away, you know, 10 years before his time, that's what Triple H said. Exotic Adrian Street, if you notice, I haven't seen anybody talking about how far ahead of his time he was at that time. He put the glam in glam rock. I mean, he was doing that in the early 70s. Imagine if he was 10 years younger and doing that in the late 70s to early 80s. And yes, he was around wrestling. He wrestled for over 50 years. He wrestled for over 50 years. But if he was 10 years younger, imagine him doing this 10 years younger in the 80s. Very, very ahead of his time. And that was something I didn't see today from a lot of people out there. So rest in peace, Adrian Street. By the way, that was his real name. His wife is going to have him cremated, and they're going to scatter his ashes in somewhere in Wales. I don't remember the name of the town, but they used to go to the countryside, and he was always peaceful there, and they're going to sprinkle his ashes. And I should add this. This is very important. He died a week ago. We only found out today. So Adrian Street, rest in peace. Also, we lost Pee Wee Herman, 70 years old. Now, I'm going to show you a little wrestling clip that you'll get a kick out of. He died of cancer. We don't know what the cancer was. It has not been revealed yet. What we did find out is that he had been battling cancer for 6 years. And recently, Pee Wee Herman wrote an apology that he wanted posted online once he passed. He wanted to apologize to his fans for not telling anyone that he had been battling cancer for the last 6 years. He didn't want anybody upset. He didn't want anybody to worry about him. He died yesterday at the age of 70. Now, today, July 31st, is the 8-year anniversary of the passing of Rowdy Roddy Piper. 8 years today, we lost Roddy Piper. I'm sure a lot of people didn't even notice that today. A lot of people weren't talking about it. Well, I got a little treat for you. First of all, I got to share this. I totally, totally forgot that he was part of, what, WrestleMania 29? Was it WrestleMania 29? I think it might have been WrestleMania 29. I totally forgot that he was on WrestleMania. Not only that, I totally forgot that he was part of Raw in 2010. I totally forgot Pee Wee Herman was on WWE TV. Michael Gonzalez says WrestleMania 27. Thank you. I knew it was in the upper 20s, 27. So I went back and I watched the clips. I saw him with The Big Show, The Miz. It's fun stuff. Even him with Lita was cute. But just because I won't get in any copyright trouble, I want to show you a 3-minute clip that I think you'll get a kick out of. It is 1985. back in 1985, we had the rock and wrestling connection. Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Captain Lou Albano, Roddy Piper, Dick Clark, you know, Wendy Richter, WrestleMania 1, the war to settle it all, the war to, you know, everything, the war to end it all. We just celebrated the anniversary last week. Saturday morning, they used to have a block of cartoons. And you might remember Hulk Hogan's wrestling cartoon in the 80s. Well, they had a special that aired Saturday morning in 1985. And it was a Saturday morning wrestling special. I think it was originally supposed to be hosted by Tattoo. Remember?
Buzz! The plane! The plane!
Remember Fantasy Island? Welcome to Fantasy Tattoo! And Roddy Piper invaded the show, and Roddy Piper became the host. On that show, you had Patti LaBelle, you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you had others. Space Ghost was on it. Who remembers Space Ghost? Coast to Coast. But also on that show was Pee Wee Herman. And this was right at the beginning of Pee Wee's Playhouse. Since Pee Wee Herman passed away yesterday, and today's the anniversary of Roddy Piper passing away, I'm going to show you a little clip from 1985 where they crossed paths. Pretty cool, especially when you remember Roddy Piper. So for those on audio, just give it a listen. It's still just as much fun.
Silly little bow tie on, you got pants that come up to here, your socks out. Yeah, what are you talking about, man?
I'm rubbing your glue, whatever you say, bounces off of the 60M.
Oh. Wait till you see the end. You'll get a kick out of it. Mick Foley probably had a smile on his face.
What are you doing?
You can do fun with nothing, like just a pair of socks. Like,
hello, Rally! Hello!
Look, come on, you can play puppets like this. Look, here, put this on your hand, my dear.
And you can play! Yeah! You can play! You can! And then you can make the eyes like this. La, 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 la. Hello, Ronnie's puppet!
Hello, P.U.
My puppet's name is Stinky Pew.
No kidding, P.U., you stink!
The special is on YouTube. And it's crappy. Lou Albano's on it too. There's I think even Hogan makes a cameo. But it's definitely something that a lot of you have never seen before. I figured I'd share it because Pee Wee Herman passed away. You know, 70 years old. We remember the controversy in the early 2000s with the adult movie theater. But you know what? Looking back on that, he entertained so many kids. Never had any controversy with kids. And I grew up enjoying his Saturday morning show. And, you know, how many of you out there know people, they still use the nickname Pee-wee to this day. And they think of Pee-wee Herman. So 70 years old, rest in peace. Cancer sucks. So just figured I'd share with everybody out there. So, all right, let's move on. Here's another little programming tidbit. If you haven't checked it out yet, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It aired over the weekend, and the replay is available online. We had Family Feud, the WWE version. We had the WWE women of Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Natalya, Becky Lynch, and Bayley. They took on the WWE men of Seth Rollins, Big E, Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Dolph Ziggler. And the men would beat the women. And I know that sounds like lyrics from the song Dominatrix Sleeps Tonight. But if you remember that song, it's women beat their men. The men beat on their drums. Dominatrix Sleeps Tonight. Yes, I used to break dance to that song. Just think of about a 260-pound, 5'9", fat teenage Guido trying to break dance on a piece of cardboard to Dominatrix Sleeps Tonight. So the men actually beat the women. So who did the fast money? Big E and Seth Rollins. Now, I can't play the questions here because we will get in a lot of trouble, but you could see that Big E actually scored 129 points. Seth Rollins, he didn't get a couple of questions right, but did they win the $25,000 for charity? Yes, they did. Seth Rollins actually pulled it through, just skidded by, and they won 25 G's. So I took a couple of screenshots in case you wanted to go check it out. It's a fun episode. Steve Harvey, if you ever watch Family Feud with Steve Harvey, you get that humor. So it was definitely a fun little show if you want to go check that out. One other thing, since we're getting into a couple of news tidbits, Great American Bash. First of all, if you didn't check out my review yet, when I go like this, for those on video, you could click the link that'll pop up or just search my channel. You could check it out. Really enjoyed the show yesterday. Two kind of crappy finishes to matches. But the reason why I'm bringing it up here is injuries. So far, no serious injuries. Yesterday, there were some people reporting that Tiffany Stratton suffered a concussion. From what I was told today, not true. Tiffany Stratton's okay. She is scheduled to be on NXT tomorrow. NXT, WWE is being extremely tight-lipped as far as who's going to be on the show tomorrow. And as of this recording that I'm doing now, the only thing that's been advertised is, I believe, Valentina Feroz and Yulisa Leon versus Lola Vice and Electra Lopez. That's the only match that's been announced so far. So, and shout out to everybody who emailed me and said that they tried the Italian bread and the sauce today. Very, very cool, man. I'm sure some of you lied, but if anybody out there that never tried that before, oh my God, you missed a nice Italian delicacy. We paid a little toast, pun intended, yesterday to Tony D and Stax winning the tag titles. We had a little fuckery today on Raw. I let it slide because of what we got as a result. And yes, I'm going a little bit out of place, but we talk about the things on Raw that give us the most attention. I definitely want to bring this up first because I thought it was a pretty big deal. During the show tonight, we had Valhalla taking on Maxxine Dupri, and she actually got the win. It was an okay match. Maxxine Dupri, maybe a little bit too addictive with the arm drag tank downs. We'll get into the recap in a few moments. It's not where I'm going with this. After the match is over, a few minutes later, Alpha Academy is celebrating in the back. And it appears that Otis and Chad Gable will be in the SummerSlam Battle Royale. So they're happy in the back, and they get confronted by Imperium. Did you notice something tonight about Imperium when they were in the ring? Did you notice someone being ignored during the celebration? Yeah, we'll talk about it. But they get interrupted by Ludwig Kaiser and Gunther Giovanni Vinci, somewhere lurking in the background. And they're making fun. Gunther calls Otis a freak. And Ludwig Kaiser says that Chad Gable couldn't last 5 minutes against Gunther. And Chad Gable's like, oh, is that right? And Gunther's like, yeah, you couldn't last 5 minutes with me. So they issued a challenge to Chad Gable. Gunther versus Chad Gable tonight in the ring, 5 minute I guess, beat the clock challenge. Not necessarily, because all he had to do is last 5 minutes and he wins the match. So Chad Gable says, yeah, you're on. That he believes that he could last 5 minutes against Gunther. So far, I mean, easy explanation. Gunther versus Chad Gable, 5 minutes on the clock. Can Chad Gable outlast Gunther? Can he stay in the ring 5 minutes with Gunther? If he can, he wins, right? So the match is on. And we get the match, and we got a 5 minute countdown. And I'm going to pull up my notes because I want to get into a couple of details with that. So we get, for the first minute and a half, some nice chain wrestling on both sides. And in the first 2 minutes of the match, now it's only 5 minutes long, but for the first 2 minutes of the match, I found myself saying, man, that sucks. We're only going to get 5 minutes maximum with Gunther versus Chad Gable, because you know that Gunther is not going to lose. He's going to beat Chad Gable in 5 minutes, right? So they're fighting. 2 minutes in, Gunther starts taking control. So Gunther, a little cocky, taking his time, looking at the Titantron, at the countdown, still taking his time, beating down Chad Gable. Crowd starts chanting, let's go Gable. Now the clock is down to 90 seconds. And you couldn't miss the clock if you're looking at the Titantron. There's an example of it. So we're down to 90 seconds. Gunther nails Chad Gable with a vicious, vicious chop with 80 seconds left on the clock. Gunther attempts a powerbomb with 65 seconds left on the clock. Chad Gable gets brief upper hand and tries to lock the ankle lock on Gunther, but Gunther breaks out. And with 45 seconds left on the clock, Gunther locks in a sleeper hold. So we're at 45 seconds, and even Corey Graves says nobody could last 45 seconds with a sleeper hold. So Chad Gable's trying to battle it out. We get to 13 seconds, and Gunther sees the clock, and he's like, fuck the sleeper hold. Let me just powerbomb Chad Gable once or twice and pin him. So we're down to 13 seconds. Next thing you know, Chad Gable tosses Gunther over the ropes. Gunther goes to the floor, and the clock counts to zero. Now, I'm watching this, and I'm saying to myself, hold on. You mean to tell me Gunther just lost? I know there's no title on the line, but Gunther just lost his first match, singles match, on the main roster. And Corey Graves, you know, is like downplaying it a little bit. And I got to do this in three parts so we don't get hit with copyrights. I mean, you know, I'm still new to that. Sometimes, you know, I still have to tweak something after the show is over. But I'm watching this, and I hear this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time limit on the clock has expired. Therefore, you...
All right. The winner, Chad Gable. And the crowd is going nuts.
Your winner is Chad Gable!
As a technical...
You know, technicality, because this is a five-minute challenge. You know, Gunther didn't get pinned, but that was the match. If Chad Gable could withstand 5 minutes with Gunther, he wins. Period. So, as any heel would do, Gunther gets on the mic, says this.
Add more time to the clock. It's not over.
Add more time to the clock. But match is final, right?
That this match will continue right now.
The match is
a bafangul. A bafangul, seriously. Now, for me as a wrestling fan, I wanted the match to restart because Gunther versus Chad Gable was awesome. It was a fun fight tonight. Chad Gable got a lot more offense than you would have expected. But come on, man. Seriously, that's not even a dusty finish. I don't even think AEW would do something like that. Because the heel says, it's not over. Add more time. Restart the match. And WWE's like, okay. Okay. You know, it kind of reminded me on a much smaller scale. Remember the night Chris Jericho and Triple H with Errol Hebner? Blah, blah, blah. It never happened. It never happened. It was kind of goofy. So they restart the match. And we get a banger. I mean, I'm not complaining about the match. They were great. But in the end, Gunther, powerbomb, win. So, yeah, you don't want it to be a regular match. Austin and others in the chat, I agree with you. But you can't have it a regular match. You don't want Chad Gable pinning Gunther. Especially not right before SummerSlam. Drew McIntyre could not be there today because Drew McIntyre is wrapping up filming a movie. For those that don't know, I actually wrote the name of the movie down. It actually stars Batista. Who else does it star? Where is it? Oh, yeah. It's called The Killer's Game. And it stars Batista. He plays a hitman in the movie. Also in the movie is, I think, Ice Cube. Drew McIntyre is in the movie as well. And they're wrapping up filming. Ben Kingsley is another name that I see over here. So he could not appear today. But wouldn't that have been much better if maybe Drew McIntyre came out there and distracted Gunther? And that's what caused Gunther for the time to expire. Instead, I mean, this was great for Chad Gable. But does anybody really feel like Chad Gable is going to get any momentum from this? I don't think so. So it was kind of a little dickish tonight. Why just restart the match? The match, you know, like, if it wasn't a match, then how do you restart the match? It was a 5-minute challenge, and Chad Gable outlasted it, in my opinion. Chad Gable won. So for me, as far as results tonight, Chad Gable beat Gunther, 5-minute challenge, and then Gunther beat Chad Gable in a straight up 1-on-1 match. So Crazy Cruiserweight, yeah, it's the annual tradition, and I definitely need to share it with everybody out there. I you know, I didn't even think about it until you were very generous with this 10 spot. Thank you, Cruiserweight. Happy August 1st, everybody. Does August 1st kind of hit you at the strings as a wrestling fan? If you don't remember, August 1st warning. The Impact, the TNA Impact Wrestling debacle. Remember Tito Ortiz? I mean, I don't think I could do my Don West impersonation tonight, but they were doing all those vignettes on YouTube, August 1st warning. And then there was rumors that it was Batista. And then you heard like this distorted voice. I am not Batista. Blah, 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 blah. August 1st. Warning, warning, warning. And then that was at the time where I was having the problem with Bully Ray. And I remember Tito Ortiz came out. And you hear Don West going, Tito Ortiz! Tito Ortiz! Look, Tito Ortiz! And the crowd, there was no reaction. You heard the entrance theme. The entrance theme sounded like CD quality. There was no fans reacting in the background. And I'll never forget it. That fucking bald head, Tito Ortiz, and Don West is going, Tito Ortiz! And he goes like this. He wraps his arms around his shoulder. And I think, who's that other Ultimate Fighter guy? The one who was in the music video with John Cena? He was in the ring and did Kurt Angle, the Main Event Mafia, and they're acting all scared and everything, and Tito Ortiz has got this smirk on my face. I'm like, this sucks. Quentin Jackson, was that his name? Rampage Jackson. Ah, I remembered. So, Mr. Cruiserweight, happy August 1st warning to you. Everyone out there, happy August 1st warning as well. Sam is asking, what's with the ads? I don't have any control when YouTube puts ads during the live stream. So, you know, I apologize, but trust me, I'm not that talented to be podcasting, putting things on the screen and say, ooh, let me throw a little ad at that. So yeah, that's a YouTube thing. So I apologize. So, you know, all right. But thank you, Cruiserweight, again for the 10 spot. Much love. Shout out to theme parks and things with Johnny, celebrating 20 months as a member of the family. DT, haven't been able to catch the shows, been working. Hey, don't apologize. You're working. That's good, man. Make the money, man. Make the money. And I hope everything is well with you, too. Much love. King Mo. No. King Mo. All right. Let's, do I have any other news tidbits for you? We're going to do ratings in a little bit and some good news for Impact Wrestling. And, yeah, I'm going to give you the breakdown. Dana Brooke equals ratings. Dana Brooke has a little bragging rights. She actually was the highest rated segment on NXT last week. Some very interesting ratings tidbits to share with you in a little bit. So we'll definitely discuss that. So let's get into Raw. Let's fill in the blanks as far as what we got today. Oh, yeah, you know what? There is two other things you definitely would want to know about. First of all, congratulations to Gunther, besides tonight, obviously. Gunther just passed the Macho Man Randy Savage as far as the longest reigning intercontinental champions of all time. Randy Savage had 413-day reign. Gunther just passed it. So Gunther is now ranked third of all time with that championship. I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble, and if I was betting my life on SummerSlam, I would bet on Gunther to beat Drew McIntyre. I'm sure there's going to be fuckery involved, but the reason why I don't think Drew has any shot at SummerSlam is because of this. Gunther right now is the third longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time. Gunther has been so on top of his game and at an elite level that some people, a lot of fans out there, think that Gunther is the number one most talented wrestler on that roster. Gunther could fight God, who fought Vince. He could fight himself and probably put on a banger of a match. Gunther is just at the top of his game, up and down, and people see it. You reward that with history, because next on the list is Pedro Morales at 424 days. That is just 10 days from now, because I think it was 414 as of yesterday. So Gunther becomes number two on that list in about 10 days. Once he reaches 425 and passes Pedro Morales, the only person left is the Honky Tonk Man. And the Honky Tonk Man's reign is not too much longer than that, 453 days. So the magic day for Gunther to become the longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time is September 7th. And looking at my calendar, that will be on a Thursday. So you could guarantee yourself that on Monday, September 4th, you best damn believe that WWE is going to put a crazy-ass match on Raw for Gunther. Because on Monday, August 4th, if Gunther wins that match, he coasts to the all-time record, because by the following Monday, September 11th, September 11th, he will be the longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time. Gunther is beating it. When you hear, you got to pay close attention to the announcers, all the commentators, when they talk about, you know, the most dominant intercontinental champion of, you know, this century, they are hyping that motherfucker up to be larger than life. If you listen closely, that's how they label him right now, the most dominating intercontinental champion of this century. That sounds big. That also goes to show you that, kind of crazy to think about it, that from the late 80s to now, WWE couldn't have anybody have a run that could have gone a year and a half. It's pretty mind-boggling when you realize that after the 80s, like, nobody had, like, a really long-ass run. I mean, you had some that, you know, came close to a year, But September 7th, which is a little more than a month away, 5 weeks away, Gunther makes history. You do not have it come this close and not do it. Maybe Vince McMahon holding reign up to 5 years ago, maybe he would do it with somebody else. You come this close. Let's put it this way. They did it for, what, Nikki Bella? Who had the longest reign of all time? Wasn't it Nikki Bella? And then Nikki Bella lost the championship, like, right after it. And then they changed the Divas title to the women's title, I think it was. Trust me, you're going to make history like it. Look at the New Day. Didn't the New Day pass Demolition? And then they lost it almost immediately after. So I think Gunther makes the history. I don't even think there's a question. Another thing I wanted to share with you. There's no controversy here. There's some people in the media world, I say it like that, they're trying to turn this into controversial, a little bit of, you know, AEW, WWE hate here because Jim Ross is involved in the production and, you know, it has nothing to do with AEW. But you remember that there was an independent film being made on the life of Mildred Burke, one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time. It's called Queen of the Ring. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that Liv Morgan and Charlotte Flair were going to be in this movie. Liv Morgan was going to play Clara Mortensen, and Charlotte Flair was going to play June Byers. That is big. June Byers, legit. Look up wrestling from the 50s. June Byers is near the top. So Charlotte was going to play June Byers and Liv Morgan was going to play Clara Mortensen. We just learned a couple of days ago that Charlotte and Liv Morgan are off the film. In their place, Toni Storm will be taking the role of Clara Mortensen that Liv Morgan was going to play. So Toni Storm replaces Liv Morgan, and NWA Women's Champion Camille is going to play June Byers. I'll be honest with you. Camille is such a physical specimen. You know, it's going to be interesting to see her playing June Byers. I mean, they're going to do her hair up 50s style, so she'll ace it. Toni Storm is going to be interesting, too, because of the accent and everything else. But they are replacing Charlotte and Liv Morgan. Now, for people that are going to ask me, DT, why are they off the show? Two reasons. Number one, Liv Morgan is injured. She re-aggravated her shoulder. So Liv Morgan, WWE does not want to take any chances with. Plus, she is injured. So Liv Morgan cannot do it. Charlotte Flair is very, very inundated with the WWE schedule right now. And Charlotte Flair is a pretty important part of the SmackDown women's roster, so she was pulled from it as well. There's no controversy behind it. They weren't trying to fuck anybody over, but both of them are off that movie. There was one other thing I wanted to tell you about it, and it's escaping me. Oh, I know what I was going to say. The movie is still being filmed, even though there's a Writers Guild strike, because it's an independent film. So even though there's a strike right now, they're still doing the movie. So if the strike would have affected the filming, then there was a chance that maybe Liv Morgan and Charlotte would have still been a part of it because filming would have been on hold. But apparently filming is going on as we speak. So that's why another reason why they're off. They're filming, not right now, it's late. It's after midnight. But I mean like August, July, they're filming right now. So figured I'd give you that news, because I know some of you were very, very curious about that film. So, let's talk briefly about Raw tonight. Logan Paul opens up the show, and he welcomes Houston, Texas, to Monday Night Raw. He doesn't want to talk too long. He doesn't want to talk to brain-dead people. So, he's here for Ricochet. And the crowd started. We had a lot of what chants tonight. Logan Paul, Brock Lesnar especially, they were having a good time with it. They were going along with it. Logan Paul is getting hit with the whats. And he said last week he was sneak attacked and abused. What? Says he will destroy Ricochet. What? And have the most viral moment in WWE history. And Ricochet's music immediately hits Ricochet massively over with the crowd tonight. And this was a fun segment. Ricochet, you know, a little cute with words. Last week I was in your live stream. This week I'm in your head. And Ricochet says, you know, you could fool your followers online, but you're not going to fool Houston, Texas, and the WWE Universe. Ricochet getting pops. He says that he agrees that Saturday will be a box office smash. It will be viral between him and Logan Paul. And he says he doesn't like Logan Paul, and he doesn't like anything about him, but he respects that Logan Paul is an athlete. And Logan Paul, you feel like he's appreciative of what Ricochet said. Crowd don't want it. Logan Paul's like, Ricochet, that means a lot to me, man. I appreciate that. And the crowd is like, the fuck out of here with that shit. So Logan Paul says he respects Ricochet, and he says that Ricochet is one of the greatest to ever do it until Logan Paul showed up. So now Logan Paul is being a little bit of a dick. They show the viral footage from the Royal Rumble where Logan Paul and Ricochet jumping on both sides of the ring, clotheslining each other. And then Logan Paul offers a fist bump to Ricochet. Ricochet gives him the fist bump. And then Logan Paul turns around and looks at Samantha Irvin, who is the fiance of Ricochet, and they name drop it on TV. Logan Paul says, you know, that's your fiance over there, right? Samantha Irvin? And Logan Paul's looking at her. He's waving. And he says that, how are you going to feel at SummerSlam when your fiance announces me, Logan Paul, as the winner? Then he turns around and he waves to Samantha Irvin again, and Ricochet is not having it. Takes him out, nails some offense, but Ricochet, unfortunately, tries to do a top rope move and immediately eats a right hand, knocking his ass out. So Logan Paul clicks the live stream. He's live streaming a little bit, celebrating, and that was your opening segment tonight. Good segment. Good segment. And as of right now, as I talked about the other day, Ricochet and Logan Paul will either be match one or match two, because Logan Paul wants to walk the aisle for his brother, as Jake Paul's going to be taking on Nate Diaz that night. So that will be an early match on the card. Me personally, I probably would rather have it on first. I think that just starts everything off big time. Imperium. With an interview in the back, Gunther predicts victory against Drew McIntyre on Saturday. And as I said earlier, Drew McIntyre is not there tonight. And tonight on Raw, Ludwig Kaiser gets an opportunity to redeem himself. Because remember, last week, Ludwig Kaiser lost to Drew McIntyre. So, we get an impromptu match. And it is Matt Riddle against Ludwig Kaiser. And we've seen a lot of Matt Riddle and Imperium in the recent weeks, more than a month. Tonight was no different. A fun back-and-forth match. We start getting some vibes towards the latter part in the match that maybe Matt Riddle is going to take this. Big-time powerbomb and a knee to Ludwig Kaiser. And then we get a brief back-and-forth exchange between the two guys. A lot of knees, a lot of punches, a lot of chops. Matt Riddle goes for the moonsault, but Ludwig Kaiser gets out of dodge. So Matt attempts the moonsault, but no water in the pool. He goes splat in the ring. Now at this point, I'm saying to myself, ah, shit, here's where Imperium maybe hits the ring, DQ finish. Drew McIntyre is not there to save Matt Riddle. But no, we get a clean finish. Riddle misses the moonsault. Kaiser hits the DDT and pins Matt Riddle once again. One, two, three. If you go back and you watch it, when Ludwig Kaiser wins, he's in the ring with Giovanni Vinci and Gunther. Gunther, very, very satisfied with what he saw, shakes the hand of Ludwig Kaiser. And if you watch closely, Ludwig Kaiser and Gunther ignoring Giovanni Vinci. Giovanni Vinci, almost as if he is not there. You kind of feel bad for him. As we said over the weekend, you know, I mean, these guys are human beings. You know, you think to yourself, if you're Giovanni Vinci, you know, and you know that your days in Imperium are likely numbered, you go out there and you say to yourself, wow, this sucks. This sucks. You know, I'm going to be out of this group soon. What am I going to do? You know, am I going to pretend I'm Spanish and join the LWO? Like, how does Giovanni Vinci, you know, survive as a singles guy? And I'm just being honest here. I have nothing against the guy. Nothing at all. But it must suck to be in the ring and say to yourself, man, if I get booted from this group, WWE Creative, what the fuck am I going to do? So I kind of feel bad for him. Psycho is asking, when do I think Randy Orton is coming back? He's coming back soon. The thing is that if Randy Orton was not going to be coming back, by now Randy Orton would have made an appearance on TV. There would have been a little bit more clarity. The fact that they are keeping silent publicly about Randy Orton as far as television goes, Randy Orton will be back. I personally think he and Matt Riddle should reform RK-Bro, because the tag team division right now is a little bit weak, and I think RK-Bro would be a lot of fun, especially in this current, you know, state with the tag team division. I'm kind of sick of Judgment Day versus Sami Zayn and the partner du jour. Tonight it was Seth Rollins. Main event was kind of rinse and repeat, as we've been saying. So, El Guero, 316, thank you for the five spot, my friend. He wanted to give a shout out to me and a shout out to everybody who was tuning in. So, El Guero, 316, thank you very much, my friend. Happy August 1st. Thank you, Guero. So, we get a little recap from last week's Viking Rules match. We get an interesting, this was interesting as fuck, man. Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes video package tonight. My friends, I got to be honest with you. Whenever I watch wrestling, especially wrestling I'm going to cover on the shows, I take the vibe of social media. Take the vibe and see how they're reacting to certain things to see if I'm way off or maybe something I don't catch that somebody else does. Holy shit. If you go back, especially on Twitter, and I beg all of you, if you want a treat, you want to see something split down the middle, probably like nothing else, because social media tonight loved the Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler stuff. They loved it. If you go back on social media and type in Cody Brock video package, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I can't remember the last time that social media was so divided about a video package. And it was all over David Kushner's song called Daylight. Now, I grew up, I grew up watching wrestling from the late 70s, but I remember the Attitude Era and the, you know, Desire videos, My Sacrifice and shit like that. Those video packages back then, even ECW when they would do November Rain, not the edited shit that WWE has on their network. You got to go watch the videos with the Guns N' Roses playing in the background. It gives you chills. But I used to watch those videos and I used to be so fucking psyched for feuds. Those, you know, Desire videos really pumped you up with feuds. Tonight, WWE used this song from David Kushner called Daylight to hype up Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. If you watch the video package and ignore the music, you probably said, wow, this is an epic video. This video package was tremendous. I watched it. I was like, holy shit, somebody's earning their fucking money today. Between the Shayna Ronda stuff and the Brock Cody packages, somebody's making big money because they really stepped it up. The song, though, got a wild mixed reaction online. Either people thought it was tremendous or people were like, the fuck is this? This song don't make sense. Either loved it or you hated it. And again, if you go on social media and just go back and look at the reaction, it's so divided. Kind of, it was pretty shocking. But the video package was great. Me, I didn't really like the song all that much. Like, I guess they couldn't use like a Johnny Cash song. You know, like there's other songs they could have used, but this was the song that they chose. They probably were able to get it for nothing. But the video package was great. The song, I was kind of like, eh. I didn't really dig it all that much, but great video package. As I said earlier, Maxxine Dupri beats Valhalla. Right at the bell, Valhalla goes after Maxxine. Maxxine hits Valhalla with a couple of arm drags. You know, if you took a drink, took a shot every time Maxxine hit an arm drag today, you'd be buzzed. She had to have hit at least four or five. We get a little brief, and this was a quick match. We get a little brief offense from Valhalla early on, but Maxxine with more arm drags and then hits a fisherman suplex, which looked pretty nice. Otis climbs the apron, and you hear him telling Maxxine, it's time to do it. Oh, yeah. And he takes his shirt off, and Maxxine Dupri tries to do the caterpillar. If you think of Elaine from Seinfeld and the way she danced, that's pretty much how it wasn't bad, but it was almost like Maxxine Dupri was like in a room this wide. So instead of her going like this, like moving across the ring, it was like, psh, psh, like just like in place. She did it, but she did somewhat of the caterpillar. She climbs the top rope. Points to the sky, and I was like, wow, kind of like give me flashbacks of Sabu the way she did it. But she points to the sky, and she splashes Valhalla. And the referee starts to count, but Eric climbs the apron and distracts the referee. Next thing you know, Eric and Ivar are battling with Otis outside the ring. Chad Gable climbs the top rope, does a moonsault to the outside, and Maxxine is distracted. She's watching what's going on, and you're thinking to yourself, here's where Maxxine loses. But no. What ends up happening is Valhalla tries to attempt a superplex on Maxxine Dupri. Maxxine walks backwards, and Valhalla is on the shoulders of Maxxine Dupri. And all Maxxine Dupri did is what you and I would do. And if anybody remembers the growing up Don Tony story I told many times in the past where a guy was bullying me. And listen, I was just as much of an asshole when I was a kid. But you remember we walked to Juniper Park after he unplugged my video game. I was playing Jungle Hunt and he unplugged the game. And next thing you know, I call you out. I accept. That's how you fought when you were teenagers in the 80s. Somebody would say, I call you out. And then you would say, I accept. And that's it. The fight is on. And he put me in a headlock, and all I did was pick him up and fall backwards. And he fell backwards, and he lost, he got the wind knocked out of him, and he's laying on the floor, and he looked like, sounded like Sergeant Hulka from Stripes. He's like, So Maxxine Dupri did what any of us would have done. She just falls backwards, and she pins Valhalla. So they're celebrating. They get the win. And crowd was behind it. You know, crowd enjoyed it. It went, you know, short, but it did what it needed to do. We get a little recap from last week with Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, and Judgment Day. Little congratulations to John Cena. Right now, he has the number one movie in the United States and the number one movie worldwide. It's called Hidden Strike with Jackie Chan. You can check it right now on Netflix. I, though, will not. Shinsuke Nakamura is in the back. You're forcing the fans to decide. Are they going to be more behind Shinsuke or are they going to be behind more for Tommaso Ciampa? Shinsuke Nakamura is backstage, gets a nice little crowd pop. Tommaso Ciampa shows up. Mixed reaction. Fans were more behind Shinsuke Nakamura. So Ciampa says that the problem that they have, he's going to fix it tonight. Because we realize they're going to have a match. And if you're thinking what I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, when does Bronson Reed show up and fuck the match up? So Ciampa says that he needs to start building some momentum. And he's in the battle royal Saturday, as is Nakamura. Ciampa predicts victory. Nakamura predicts victory. Problem solved. And we're going to have a match a little bit later on. We get rinse and repeat. Judgment Day. They hit the ring. Damian Priest talking a little Spanish. All rise for the Judgment Day. Rhea Ripley, she gets on the mic. Rinse and repeat. Let's face it, guys. Raw doesn't start until we say it does. We run Monday Night Raw. And the crowd is chanting a little bit for Mommy. Rhea talks about how they've dominated Raw. Damian Priest gives a few examples. Kevin Owens, we took him out. Sami Zayn, we left him leaving. Seth Rollins, we gave him an epic beatdown last week. And let's not forget what Mommy did with Liv Morgan last week. And if Seth and Sami show up tonight, Dom and I will make sure they will not leave the ring whole. Because in case you are under a rock, this was the main event tonight. Rinse and repeat. Sami Zayn and the partner du jour versus the Judgment Day. So, Seth Rollins is the topic of Finn Balor's rant tonight, because it's now Finn Balor's time to talk, and he talks about insanity and says that Seth Rollins thinks insanity is wearing stupid clothes and acting like a clown. Insanity is waking up for the last 7 years and the scars that Seth Rollins created and what Seth Rollins has ruined for Finn Balor. But at SummerSlam, Finn Balor says he cannot erase those scars, but he could create new scars for Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins will remember the day that Finn Balor beat him for the World Heavyweight Championship. Benjamin, the DIY reunion will be happening soon. WWE does not hotshot things in 2-3 weeks. They milk stuff. So right now, you know, we'll probably, maybe we'll get a tease on Saturday. If Gargano's in that battle royal, maybe we'll see a little DIY teaming, and maybe we'll get that live crowd going, DIY, DIY. Hopefully Gargano's in it. So, Dominic gets the microphone, and you know what happens. Crowd drowns him out. Some you suck chance. Dominic says that he will bring back pride to the Mysterio name. I wonder if Dominic Mysterio is going to be in this battle royal, but Rhea Ripley's gets back on the mic, says, anybody that tries to go after Judgment Day, they will suffer the same consequences that happened to Raquel Rodriguez, Kevin Owens. This leads to Raquel Rodriguez coming down to the ring, kind of running, even though she's got a fucked up knee, and she starts battling with Rhea Ripley. And we're watching this, and the commentators are playing off that Raquel Rodriguez is still not cleared to wrestle. So they're brawling a little bit. Dominic distracts Raquel just for a second, and this allows Rhea Ripley to get the upper hand. Rhea Ripley attacks the knee of Raquel Rodriguez. And once again, Raquel Rodriguez, screaming, writhing in pain, the Judgment Day is happy, and we realize no match for Rhea Ripley at SummerSlam. Here we start getting the video packages for Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler. And basically what this story comes down to is that Shayna Baszler was always there for Ronda, but when it mattered most for Shayna, Ronda wasn't there. And there was some legit emotional tears. These two obviously care about each other. Yes, they are still close friends. You know, let's remember that. But that's pretty much where this goes. And again, I trust those who follow MMA and have followed Shayna Baszler much closer, especially going back to the days of that TV show, The Ultimate Fighter, which I do remember the show. I never watched it, but I do remember it airing. And one thing that impressed me was people in the MMA world saying, you know what, WWE did their research and they nailed it. Very, very accurate what they showed tonight. And as we've always said over the years, when you base stuff on reality, that's usually where things are at its best. You look at some of the very emotional promos from wrestlers over the years, And when they base it real deep on reality, it usually clicks because you truly feel it in here. And when you could feel it in here and project that to fans, the fans could feel it too. So very, very good shit tonight. And they will be fighting Saturday on the MMA rules. So we already talked about Chad Gable and Gunther. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Tommaso Ciampa, basic Monday Night Raw match. Nothing really out of the ordinary. Bronson Reed looking dapper in another suit in the back watching the match. But in the end, when you thought Ciampa was going to start building a little momentum, not only does Nakamura get the pin, but Nakamura decides he's going to grab a little bit of the tights as well. So Shinsuke Nakamura gets the win. Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes, face-to-face. And this was fun. I really enjoyed this. Brock Lesnar comes down to the ring, and he introduces himself. He mentions a couple of his accolades. I am a former NCAA champion. What? I am a world heavyweight champion. What? And he's having fun with it as well. And he gets right to the point. He says, Saturday, I get paid to kick Cody Rhodes' ass. Saturday, Cody Rhodes gets paid to get his ass kicked by Brock Lesnar. And he says he's already been in that ring a little too long, and Brock wants to show a little respect for Cody Rhodes. He wants Cody to come out there and shake his hand, and I'll see you at SummerSlam. If you don't come out here, I will still see you Saturday at SummerSlam. Brock gives Cody Rhodes 5 seconds to get out there. Goes 5-4, Cody Rhodes' music hits. Insane pop from the crowd. Cody Rhodes gets in the ring, looks at Brock Lesnar, and we get the handshake. Cody Rhodes is the one who extended his hand first, and Brock Lesnar shakes his hand. Brock Lesnar takes his cowboy hat off first, maybe to insinuate that a little fighting will be going on, but no, Cody shakes Brock's hand. Then we had an interesting moment with this exchange. As they're shaking each other's hand, Cody Rhodes whispers something in Brock Lesnar's ear. We don't know what that was. Maybe in social media and storyline, Cody will reveal it for us. But whatever Cody whispered in Brock Lesnar's ear, Brock Lesnar was startled. Now, I can't do an impersonation of Brock Lesnar, but all basically what I could say is whatever Cody was whispering, Brock did something like this. Like, he was startled. And he started leaving the ring. And as Brock started walking down the rampway, Cody Rhodes dives through the ropes, dives on top of Brock Lesnar, and we start getting a brawl. Cody, a little bit with a brief upper hand, but unfortunately, in the end, what we have been seeing happened again today. Brock smashes the ring steps against Cody's left arm. Brock's music hits. Brock decides, I ain't done yet. Brock's music stops. Brock gets back in the ring, beats Cody a little bit more. Brock's music hits a second time. Brock says, you know what? I'm still not done. Brock's music stops again, and he lays out Cody with an F5. And if you listen closely, you heard the crowd going, one more time, one more time. Do not misconstrue that, saying, oh, see, Cody is not over. Cody was massively over. They just wanted to see more brawling. So Brock's music hits a third time. He puts his cowboy hat back on, and he walks out of the ring. A little bit later on, Byron Saxton with Cody Rhodes for a split second in the back, and he asks Cody if he will be able to fight at SummerSlam. And Cody is like pissed off at Byron Saxton. He's like, Brock could break my arm, but at SummerSlam, the aura of Brock Lesnar will be shattered. And he walks off. He walks off. So, that just leaves us with two more items from Raw tonight. First of all, we had Becky Lynch. And as I told you earlier, the reasons why that match will not be going down at SummerSlam, Becky comes out first, and she's on the mic, and you know she's doing a little rock-esque intro that the man has returned to Houston, Texas. And she says, at this point, there's nothing left to say and there's nothing left to do but to do it. And she says there isn't a better place for her and Trish to brawl than Houston, Texas. So Becky Lynch orders Trish to come out. So Trish Stratus comes out, and Trish Stratus gets on the mic, and she says that she would do the match right then and there, but no one tells Trish when and where to fight. And Becky is disappointed. The crowd is disappointed. And Trish, with the line of the night, people got a kick out of it online. I saw it. But Trish says to Becky, don't worry, I'm still giving you your match. You know, I'm going to still fight you. I'm not a cheater. Not like the Houston Astros. If you're a baseball fan, you know that that is a very raw topic to talk about in Houston, Texas. So the crowd is ripping on Trish, and Trish is having fun with it. She's like, look, I'm just spitting truths. She says, I'm just spitting truths. You know, I'm not saying anything people don't know. So Adam Pearce comes out, and here's where it gets kind of dopey. Adam Pearce says, you know what? I can't think of a better place for the match to happen, and let's get a ref out here, and we're going to start the match right now. And Trish is like, I'm not even warmed up. And Adam Pearce orders the match right now. Now, we're all confused at this point. We're saying to ourselves, like, wait a minute. You know, this happened at SummerSlam. Why is the match happening tonight? The bell rings, and literally, I think it was 2 seconds. As soon as the bell rung, here comes Zoe Stark. And Zoe Stark attacks Becky Lynch for the disqualification. So there's no match. Becky starts brawling with Zoe Stark. Trish Stratus, who is wearing the mask, is getting into it a little bit. They had a little bit of a gnarly landing outside the ring, Becky and Trish, and then the mask pops off, and they're brawling a little bit, and it looks like that Trish inadvertently got hit in the nose again. Nero Fay with the six spot. I keep forgetting what the currency is in Israel, but thank you very much. It says, crep lock on me. Believe it or not, somebody sent me a week ago a keto recipe to make some crep lock. And I'm going to try it. And somebody also is supposed to send me a recipe to make arugula with like monk fruit sweetener instead of like sugar because I'm on keto. So there's apparently a cookbook out there that has some good shit. But thank you, Nir. I appreciate it. I hope you're doing well. Hope everything is better in Israel. You know, I see the news from afar. And appreciate your support. Thank you, dear. By the way, I don't know if you know, but we might be bringing back watch parties. So just to go to the community section on YouTube. I have a little vote poll going on right now. Very interesting responses so far. So the match doesn't happen. Trish and Zoe Stark are retreating. And I'm looking at Trish's nose closely, and we opened up the show talking about it, but I was like, holy shit, her nose is pretty fucked up. And I want to see like a side view of it, but they go to the back, and then they bump into Adam Pearce, and I was like, oh, okay, now I could get a good, better look of it. And Adam Pearce is pissed off because of Zoe Stark interfering right away. And Trish is like, look, we had the match. You wanted a match. We had the match. Zoe got interfered. Hey, that's what happens. So Adam Pearce says, no, you're not getting away with this quickly. So now I'm thinking, okay, here comes the SummerSlam match. And then Adam Pearce says that Trish Stratus will take on Becky Lynch, and it'll be in 2 weeks in Manitoba, Canada, And by the way, Zoe Stark will be banned from ringside. And Trish is not happy about it. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I said that the split between Trish and Zoe Stark is about to happen. If you go on social media last week, WWE showed a little footage of Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus arguing in the back after Zoe Stark lost the match against Becky Lynch. If you didn't see that video yet, I can't share it here, but go on WWE social media, do a little search. You can watch the video. They're starting to plant the seeds of that split because Trish is not going to be here for the long term. She's going to be here a little bit longer, and then that's it. She goes back to, you know, she'll be more involved with WWE compared to recent years, but we're at the tail end of Trish Stratus's in-ring work. I wonder if she has a match against Zoe Stark before she steps away again. Something I got to think about a little bit. But as I showed you early on, here's the close-up again of her nose. And, yeah, she still has issues. So the match is off, you know, more for safety precautions than anything else. Then we had the main event tonight. And honestly, the main event was fun. Sami Zayn is great. Seth Rollins, Dominic is in the zone, and Damian Priest is doing what he does. But everything about this match came down to what we expected it to be. Finn Balor getting involved. Rhea Ripley getting involved. No Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is taken out. Obviously, Raquel Rodriguez, not an issue after what happened earlier in the night. Liv Morgan is non-existent now. So it's 4-on-2, technically. And towards the latter part of the match, Damian Priest gets the upper hand on Seth Rollins. Now, the Money in the Bank briefcase is sitting on the announcer's table. Finn Balor is at ringside. Finn Balor grabs the briefcase. And Damian Priest wants the briefcase. He's going to cash it in and face Seth Rollins tonight for that championship, even though the match is still going on. And this is what I hate more than anything about the Money in the Bank briefcase. I took one screenshot from the match tonight, and this pretty much sums up what the story was. Finn Balor grabs the briefcase. Damian Priest wants it. Finn Balor takes a second and is thinking about it. Wait, I got a match Saturday at SummerSlam. He wants to cash in. So Finn Balor pauses for a second, and then Finn Balor gives the briefcase to Damian Priest. Go cash it in. Go cash it in. Beat him. Beat him. That's not what I didn't like. That I was fine with. What I fucking hate more than anything about this briefcase, and it happens every year. Every year, and it did it again tonight. Damian Priest takes the briefcase, hands it to the referee, says, I want to cash in. How do I say this without getting my mouth in trouble? The referee turns into somebody who is on life support in a hospital. The referee turns into an absolute imbecile. The referee suddenly has brain farts upon brain farts. Wet, liquidy brain farts. Damian Priest is given in a briefcase, and the referee, you look at it, it's like, you really want to cash in? Are you sure you want to cash in? You want to cash in? And Damian Priest is like, I'm cashing in. It looks so awful on TV. And WWE does that shit every goddamn year. Damian Priest, I mean, honestly, if we're in a politically incorrect era, I would say, hey, stupid motherfucker, do you understand English? Do parle español? Conchi caca cuca? You know, tu parle italiano? What fucking language did you not understand? I want to cash in. It looks so stupid. So what happens? Seth Rollins nails Damian Priest. Sami Zayn hits a Luluva kick. Dominic Mysterio gets the briefcase thrown into his head. Rhea Ripley is crying up a storm at the other side of the ring. And Seth Rollins with the curb stomp. 1, 2, 3. And they walk off. And I'm like, you know, it's the referee shit is so goddamn awful. I understand the storyline, and I know, obviously, he can't cash in right now. But, you know, when it gets to the point that you're literally the referee's holding a briefcase, Damian Priest holding the briefcase, and, like, the referee, like, turns into a fucking guidance counselor. Damian, are you sure you want to cash in? Just think of the ramifications. There's SummerSlam set. Like, I mean, that's what it almost feels like, that the referee is, like, you know, trying, are you sure? Shut. Like, come on. I wouldn't even, like, think it out if I was stoned beyond belief. Dude, we'll have the referee. Awful. Hated it. I know everybody's laughing in the chat. I'm trying to make it a little funny, but that was awful. And they do it every goddamn year. They do it with Io Sky, too. And Io Sky, I mean, listen, I'm not trying to be a dick, but, you know, her English is not all that great. So she talks very, very slow. And the referee almost still acts like she don't understand. I want to cash in. Cash in. I hate that. So that's how we end the Raw tonight. Okay. Let's start bringing this home. Because we went longer than I expect to. Oh, okay. A little history preview, some ratings. We'll probably hit the two-hour mark. We'll end at 2 hours on the nose. We're at an hour and 48 right now, so 11 minutes, and we'll get out of here. I almost sound like two-minute warning. 11 minutes, and we're out. You know. All right, couple of things really quickly. Next week, we're going to do it. I think this week, you know, with everything going on, let's wait. But, you know, as you know, as we confirmed and got it straight from them, in December, Matt Riddle and Misha Montana are going to have a kid. They're going to have a baby. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl yet, but since they've become friendly, you know, especially with Misha, we're going to send a nice little shower gift for the two. And I have her registry for the baby shower, and it's a cute little registry. I'm not going to say where it is, you know, because that's private, but what we're going to do is all of you out there can be part of it. If you want to, and we'll probably do it in the form of Super Chats. If anybody Super Chats next week and you want to be part of it, you know, I don't want anybody to be forced to contribute. Maybe you don't like either one of them. But if people want to be part of it, if you Super Chat it, I'm going to get a big baby shower card with the gift because you all are going to have an opportunity to pick it. I'm going to post live their registry, and we'll take votes. And whatever you guys decide we should give them, we'll give them. But I'm going to get a big card. And anybody that contributes, your name will be in the card also. And it will be sent to them. So, all right, that's next week. Little history preview. Yeah, unfortunately, it's the anniversary of Roddy Piper's passing, but it's also the anniversary of Roddy Piper getting stabbed in the chest after a match that he had with Jack Briscoe for the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship. So that is a legit news article. We talk about it on the show. Plus, there's some rare promos from that. Oh, yeah, and that's Roddy Piper with the championship giving everybody a little fuck you. So we got some vintage Piper this week. I mean, even though he passed 8 years ago today, we could still celebrate his career a little bit. A couple other previews for this week in wrestling history. This is the anniversary. You remember when D-Generation X, they started spray painting everything at WWE headquarters green? A lot of people don't know, but there was a couple of 20-something-year-olds who got arrested for spray painting DX on government property. So we talk about that story, and that inspired WWE to put that giant vinyl lettering on the WWE headquarters that looked like spray paint. So I get into that whole story in case you never heard of it. It's a pretty cool story. Yeah, this week in history also, we learned that Vince McMahon loves cock. I know some people are like, DT, what are you talking about? No, this kind of cock. This cock. Cock as in chickens, I guess. Cock. Like cockfighting? Not that cock. WWE wouldn't show that on TV. So anyway, let's get back to it. Yeah, the Piper stab, Piper fuck you. There's the D-Generation X, and there's Vince. That's an epic picture, man, with him photoshopped on the baby. That is the thumbnail for this week's history show, by the way. All right, this week also, we had the confrontation with CM Punk making his return and Triple H making all these promises, and CM Punk's looking at the crowd like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? By the way, it is also the anniversary of CM Punk's debut in the WWE. When he showed up in ECW, this week in history, we cover his WWE ECW debut. Shawn Michaels doing his Hulk Hogan impersonation on Larry King Live, that satire that is celebrated this week as well. We have Lance Storm, who became Lance Three Belts in WCW this week. So Lance Storm making a little bit of history. I think Great Sasuke this week in history also. Yeah, there's the unfortunate, you know, screenshot of Roddy Piper passing the tribute to Roddy Piper on Raw. That happened 8 years ago today. Brian Hildebrand tribute show. That was cool because you had wrestlers from all different promotions. There's a nice, cool screenshot of Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho with Brian Hildebrand, who passed away way too young. I think he died of cancer as well. This week in history, Lex Luger became the WCW heavyweight champion. That was one of the biggest moments on Nitro history. And it happened this week. He didn't hold the belt all that long, if I recall. This week in history, Miss Elizabeth made her WWF debut. Yet all the managers wanting to become the manager of the Macho Man Randy Savage. This week in history, we learned it was Miss Elizabeth. And I also think we found out the cause of death for Miss Elizabeth's passing this week. Yeah, there's the CM Punk debut that happened this week. Ron Simmons making history. Black heavyweight champion, first black heavyweight champion for WCW. This little thing, dressed in gold dust attire and makeup with gold dust and Booker T, you're going to have to tune into the history show to learn what that's all about. Another crazy moment in history. There's Sasuke making history, holding all of those belts this week. We talk about that. But there is a screenshot coming up I think people will love. This is the Thrill Seekers. This is Lance Storm and Chris Jericho very early in their career. For all of you out there that know about the Muda scale, that's based on how much blood that you gush, this week in history is the bloodiest match that Chris Jericho has ever had in his history. It is one of the most bloodiest matches I've ever seen. As a wrestling fan, watching wrestling since 79, if you have never seen the match that we talk about, you got to go out of your way to watch it. You will not believe how much Chris Jericho bled in that match. It's crazy when you see it. All right, what else do we got? We shouldn't have too many pictures. Oh, this is awesome. This was so hard to investigate. And I actually got the whole story, and we talk about it. PlayStation 2 was hyping up SmackDown versus Raw. That was a video game that everybody was looking forward to, including me. We were doing Insane Creator Wrestlers back then. And what PlayStation 2 magazine did was they did a four special covers featuring WWE women. They have four different covers, and there is a controversial story behind the magazines. And I challenge anyone to do a little research, and you will not find it. As you see, Trish Stratus is one of the women that has a cover. We also had Sable, who had a cover. Then we had, hold on, Tori Wilson, who was on the cover. And the fourth woman was Stacy Keibler. And if you do a Wayback Machine search, if you check old forums and message boards, if you do Google image searches, if you check the history of PlayStation 2 magazine, you will not find the cover of Stacy Keibler. So all I could put is a giant question mark. It still continues. The case of Stacy Keibler's cover on PlayStation 2 is still a mystery. To this day. That's why I used to love doing these history shows. We uncovered so many stories that a lot of people never heard of before. That was pretty wild back then. Let's see what else we got. Oh, choppy, choppy, your pee-pee. You best damn believe we have the audio on this episode. This was the night that Kai and Tai, choppy, choppy, Val Venus's pee-pee. Yeah, that is an actual screenshot from Monday Night Raw. Val Venus legitimately had no clothes on. I do have a version of that picture with his bare ass. If you do a Google image search, you could see it for yourself. I will not post it here. We do not want to have any issues, especially amongst the youngins out there, but that is a legit screenshot. And I think that's it for this week. Yeah, that is the preview, the pictorial preview for this week in wrestling history. So we're going to wrap this up with a little bit of ratings. And it would have been nice if I had it on my screen, but have no fear. Everything is usually a second or two away. So some very interesting ratings tidbits from last week that I want to share with you. And I promise that's not clickbait and it's not overhyping stuff. Where's my ratings? Here they are. Something that I'm starting to see about Rey Mysterio, which is pretty interesting. I'm going to share with you. First of all, Raw last week, 1,818,000, slightly down from the week prior is 1,855. The high point of last week, it continues, my friends. Dominic Mysterio versus Sami Zayn last week did 1,986,000. The low point of last week's Raw was Seth Rollins and Finn Balor's contract signing. That did 1,587, 400,000 viewer drop. NXT last week did 703,000, down from the week prior, 746. The high point of last week's NXT was, in fact, Dana Brooke versus Cora Jade in the kendo stick match. That did 759,000 viewers. The low point of last week, how many times have we said these two guys in the last 6 weeks? People don't believe it, but it's true. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, they teamed up with Ilya to defeat the Schism last week. That was not like the ending of the show. That was the beginning, and only did 640. Dynamite last week did 898,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior as 953. The high point of last week's Dynamite, this might surprise some people, the Jack Perry-Jerry Lynn confrontation and Pac versus Gravity. But if you want to hear something interesting, that quarter did 996. But as the match with Pac versus Gravity continued, the rating nosedived to 863,000. Pac versus Gravity lost 130,000 viewers as the match went on. Now, I don't want to get too technical right now. I'll elaborate more on Wednesday. We'll probably do a Wednesday Night Dynamite this week. I don't see why we won't. But I will say this. If you pay close attention, people are now blaming AEW ratings declines during the show on commercial breaks. On Wednesday, I will be prepared, and I will not use old examples. I'll go to last 2-3 weeks. I will show you quarters where there was an ad break and the rating went up. Why are people now doing that? That's why what I say, people either gush or they make excuses for AEW. I don't know why the fuck people do that. And they get away with it because it's a popular thing to do. New Japan last week did 61,000 viewers, slightly down from the week prior, 63,000. Excellent news for Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling last week did 155,000 viewers, up from the week prior's 111. But not only that, Impact Wrestling last week scored their highest rating in 18 months. Props, Impact Wrestling. We've been talking about it. And it's nice to see people starting to acknowledge Impact a little bit more. They're putting on decent shows. Rampage, this past Friday, did 325,000 viewers, down from the week prior's 415. And we have a little fun right now with Rampage and with SmackDown. You know, there's a little term, insanity. I think insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. Is that what it's called, and expecting a different outcome? Well, Rampage and SmackDown, 2 weeks in a row, had an almost identical scenario happen. It's pretty cool when you hear it. This past Friday, the high point of Rampage was the Tag Team Battle Royale. Did 377,000 viewers. The week prior's high point of Rampage was the Royal Rampage match, which did 473,000 viewers. So 2 weeks in a row, you had like a tag team, battle royale, Royal Rampage, that type of a match. That was the high point of both Rampages. The low point for both Rampages the last 2 weeks is a topic that we keep talking about here that no one is talking about out there. You tune into my shows weekly. For the last 2 months, we have been pointing out that every week there is, for the women's division in WWE, every week, it seems almost every week, that the women are dominating in the ratings. Sometimes it's Raw, sometimes it's SmackDown, sometimes it's NXT. Rhea Ripley and Natty, not too long ago, highest quarter of the night. Io Sky and Charlotte Flair, other than the Bloodline, of course. I mean, the Bloodline, you're not going to compete with that. Dana Brooke this past Wednesday. For AEW, though, it's the opposite. This past Friday, the low point of Rampage was Hikaru Shida and Nyla Rose. It only did 291,000 viewers. The week prior, the lowest point of Rampage, and remember, this is a one-hour show. This is not like 3 hours and people get tired of it. The low point for the Rampage the week prior, another women's match. Chris Statlander versus Marina Shafir did 359,000. So we had 2 weeks in a row, identical outcomes. And for SmackDown, the same thing. Now, the week before, we have to give a little asterisk because SmackDown was on FS1, so the numbers were lower. But interesting that the same name popped up twice. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,324,000 viewers. That is slightly down from the week prior's. Well, actually, no, it's up from the week prior's 1,230,000. I was looking at the week before because FS1, we really cannot compare it. You know, 1,200,000. You know, you don't want to write, oh, SmackDown doubled their viewers. That's deceiving. But get a load of this. The high point from this Friday SmackDown was Roman Reigns and Jey Uso opening up SmackDown that did 2,579,000 viewers. The high point from SmackDown the week earlier was Roman Reigns and Jey Uso's Rules of Engagement that did 1,482,000 FS1. But Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, high points 2 weeks in a row. The low point of SmackDown 2 weeks in a row. On FS1, the low point was Rey Mysterio versus Sheamus versus Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight, which only did 1,000,007. Okay, FS1, maybe a lot of people didn't realize that they were on, so they tuned in a little bit later. Well, this past Friday, the low quarter again, Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar, did 2,191,000 viewers. Now, the women's segment in the back, remember when Chelsea Green and Sonya bumped into Bianca and then Charlotte showed up? So if you're going to say to me, well, DT, maybe the fans started tuning out after Santos and Rey, and maybe the women, they tuned out. Well, I'm prepared. The quarter before, that was Santos and Rey starting the match, that quarter before was 2,199,000. So the quarter before was almost identical. Not only that, 400,000 viewers tuned out from the Jey Uso Roman Reigns open this past Friday to the opening match, which was Rey versus Santos Escobar. This is now the fourth time, I think in 7 or 8 weeks, that Rey Mysterio has had the lowest quarter on SmackDown. I'm not throwing shade on Rey Mysterio, but I'm just pointing out that it's very interesting that Rey's name keeps popping up on the lowest quarters of SmackDown. And the last 2 weeks, identical. Roman and Jay, high. Rey Mysterio in a match, low. So, remember Rey and Karrion Kross, lowest part of the night. Rey took on LA Knight, lowest quarter of the night. So I don't know what it is, but it's definitely something that we've noticed. That's why I like to get into these little details, because you pick up on things, you know. But so that is, oh, and Collision, we'll know Collision's rating for July 29th tomorrow. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday Night Dynamite. But the week before, you might get a kick out of this. The high point was the opening of Collision that had Ricky Starks, CM Punk, Christian, and Luchasaurus. Darby Allin got involved as well. That led up to the tag team main event from that night. I think Darby and CM Punk teamed up. That did 665,000 viewers. The low point, once again, no disrespect, but Action Andretti, Collision viewers are not interested as much, I should say. Him teaming up with Darius Martin, they took on Bullet Club Gold, 555,000 viewers. I think this is the second time that AEW put the young guys on Collision and they took a dive with numbers. Not a big dive, but I will say this. The July 22nd Collision was the first episode since it's been on the air that you saw a steep drop, and then they recovered a little bit as they went along. They recovered a little bit, but this is the first time that you saw a significant drop. And in this case, it was 110,000 viewers. 110,000. Because Action Andretti and Darius Martin was right after the opening segment. So you had 110,000 people tune off during that match. After the match was over, it recovered a little bit, and it gradually went back up. So it wasn't that people were just tired of Collision and wanted to go to sleep, because as the show went along, the ratings started to rebound. So we talked a lot tonight. Did not plan on talking this much tonight. Oh, my God, it's 1:15 in the morning. By the time I edit this and put it online, I'm probably not off it. Plus, I want to watch Cody tonight. So I'm going to jet out of here. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Love doing it for you guys. I appreciate the support. Tell a friend. Let them know that the channel exists, whether it's DonTony.com with the audio or here doing video. Don't forget, Kevin and I, Tuesday night, we'll be doing a SummerSlam preview and predictions. We'll also talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen beyond SummerSlam. And that'll be online for everyone. And again, if you're a part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, you can join us live and interact with everybody who's joining us as well. And that's it. So as far as a few of you were asking, as far as a SummerSlam review, it's probably going to be next Tuesday with Kev as well. I will talk to Kev tomorrow about that. Some of you still complaining, like, please do it on Saturday night, bring it on YouTube. It's about schedule. It's about schedule. If Kev wants to do a review with me next week, then we'll do it on Tuesday. Everybody and their mother is doing a review on Saturday night. And I'd rather, you know, absorb the card, think about it, let things sink in, try to get a little additional research, see what transpires off of it, you know. And honestly, you know, a lot of you out there, you know, I appreciate the support, but I see a lot of names on a lot of other shows live, and I'm like, man, I'm not staying up till 4:30 in the morning so everybody could tune into other people's streams live and then check me out on a replay. So I'll talk to Kev, and if Kev cannot do it next Tuesday, then I'll do a recap Saturday night. But if Kev is able to do it, then we'll do it next Tuesday. So, all right, everyone, if you enjoyed the show, give it a thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. It's free. If you want to become a channel member, absolutely. We are going to do a predictions contest this weekend. We'll do one on Patreon and we'll do one on YouTube for the channel members. So look out for that. I'll probably put the contest up Thursday night. So that'll give you about 36 hours or so to put your entry in. And you can win some serious cash out of it. So, all right, guys, I'm going to rest my voice. We've done a lot of talking the last couple of days. So I thank you for joining me. Much love. Enjoy the rest of your night. You're welcome to post some comments in the comment section after the show is over. I read them. I respond to as many as I can. And, you know, others are reading your stuff as well. So if you have something you want to talk about, post it. Be well, everybody. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.